You may be seated. We're here today to mark the life and the homegoing of Janet Diane Brown. On behalf of Janet's family, I want to thank you all for being here today. Just each of your presence here is an encouragement to the family. It's an honor to Janet's life and a comfort to them. Janet spent so much time serving other people. That was the marked character of her life, not seeking to honor herself. And so it's right and it's fitting that we're here today, truly to honor her, remember her, rejoice in her, and I know your presence here is a encouragement to her family. Today our intent is not simply to honor her life and to comfort her family, but to genuinely honor and rejoice in the one who loved her from before the foundation of the world, God himself, who fashioned and shaped her in her mother's womb, reconciled her to himself, and now has made for her all things new. So we'll not only reflect on her life with pictures and memories shared, not only from her family to all of you, but also an opportunity for you to share some of your memories of Janet with the family during our time together. And reflect on her simple faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with scriptures read and songs sung. This is just how she wanted it. Janet had the privilege of thinking ahead to this day and deciding exactly what it would look like. She wanted each of you to know without a shadow of a doubt the reason for the pervasive joy and life that she lived, and the joy that she's even now experiencing in the presence of her Savior. Let me pray for us as we begin. Our gracious God and Father, our hearts are both sad, but filled also with hope today. Lord, we are sad for our separation from Janet and sad for the loss that is being felt by her family in particular. And we do ask that you would comfort them and strengthen them, not just in this day, but in the days ahead in her absence. And yet, Lord, it's not just sadness that we feel. There's a hope. There's a hope that pervades this day, a hope beyond life. It's given as a promise in your word that this life is not the end. It's only the pathway to eternity. An eternity that is blessed and joyous by the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to honor our friend and our loved one today. Help us to bring comfort to her family and help us each to consider our own soul in light of eternity. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in keeping with Janet's own wishes for what this day would be, truly a celebration and a rejoicing in her God and Savior and the depth and the breadth of his love expressed for her, personally, as the scripture testifies, we're going to begin today with singing a song together of the deep love of the Father in heaven as he welcomes his own, those whom he has brought to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, not only Lord in life, but also Lord in death as well. So let's stand together and sing. John will come and lead us. How deep the Father's love for us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
You may be seated.
Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot have an answer, Janet says. This I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Her reward, the faith that the Lord gave her by His grace, is experiencing it full today. Janet was born on February 20th, 1953, in Parsons, Kansas, to Daryl and Rose Hughes. That's how our life began. Her family relocated to Kansas City, Missouri area, where Janet graduated from high school. And I just want to give some reflections that her family wanted to share with you today and asked me to speak on their behalf. Her sons recall her speaking of her youth days and her adventurous side, riding motorbikes, drag racing, claiming without a doubt that she had the fastest truck in town when she was in high school. After high school, she wanted to see California and the ocean, so she just drove right out there herself on a trip. Later, she would meet the love of her life, Charles R. Charlie Brown. Charlie and Janet were married in Overland Park, Kansas, on June 26, 1982, which was a date that held special significance for Janet. Together, they enjoyed 36 years of marriage. Charlie and Janet moved from the Kansas City area to Houston, Texas, and then to Salt Lake City, Utah, before finally settling in Owosso, Oklahoma, and made their final move together to Collinsville, Oklahoma, wanting a great place for their family together at their home there. Family became very important to Janet, as all of her family and all who knew her can testify. She had a clear idea of what a mom would be and what kind of woman she wanted to be, and she was tenacious in pursuing that. One primary word her family members give is the word selfless. Serving, planning, going out of her way to serve others, to help them. She was the kind of mom who read books to her boys at night, and she sought to make their life a joy. They lived near the high school when some of the boys were in school, and all the boys' friends knew that Thursday morning was biscuits and gravy morning at the Brown house before high school started. There'd always be a fridge full of soft drinks for whenever their friends wanted to stop by, whether they were with her sons or not, and they could even take one for the road if they wanted to. In Houston, when the boys were younger, Janet was the cul-de-sac mom to all the kids. the Browns had a trampoline, and so the kids came over, and Janet welcomed all of them and endeared herself to all the kids who came. She had planned trips to the beach with all of them, other fun outings for all the kids. And whatever it was about Miss Janet, when a kid in the cul-de-sac had a loose tooth, she was the only one they wanted to pull it. What is it about a person when someone else's child comes to Miss Janet to have them pull her tooth? It's love. It's love expressed, known clearly, tangible, overflowing ways. With her family, whether it was the hiking and skiing in Utah, the countless camping trips with the boys, even the character-building camping trips when the weather turned bad, hunting for geodes, searching for diamonds with the grandkids in Arkansas, always collecting rocks everywhere they went. She actually discovered my own wife's love for rocks and collecting them, and so she's given my wife some of her rocks. Both she and Charlie always sharing what they had with others, whether it was rocks or their house or their boat or their cars, swim time with the young moms from the church, a fridge full of Cokes for the boys. She was always thinking about ways she could care for, share with, bless other people. Countless of us have personally benefited from that over the years, her generosity. And the grandkids, whether it was cooking with them or decorating for Christmas or reading them books, joyful times, that's what she wanted. When the grandkids would come for a visit from Chicago, everything else stopped, and she always had lots of plans to make their time with her fun and just to spend time with them. I'm telling you, I even knew when the grandkids were coming from Chicago. Everything stopped. Special outings, experiences. They shared if they mentioned something they hadn't done or experienced yet, whether it was tie-dyeing shirts or a Coke float or whether an egg would really cook on the sidewalk on a hot day, Janet would try it out with them, that adventurous but also selfless side of her. Janet wasn't entirely predictable, though. Brian came home earlier than expected one day to find Mom with the vacuum going and the radio blaring with the Macarena, and she's doing all the dance moves with the vacuum cleaner. Janet did live life to the full. She didn't want to wait till later to live life. She lived it in the moment. And if she thought someone was doing her kids wrong, oh, she was all over that. Tyler says that he was actually issued a traffic citation by an Owosso police officer when he was 12 years old for rollerblading in the street, even though a portion of the sidewalk there was kind of torn up and he didn't have any option except being in the street. Oh, Janet was not happy about that. She took pictures, she got badge numbers, she drew diagrams, she called the Owosso Reporter, the News on 6. She went to court and she got the ticket dismissed. Same thing Brian says happened when he got an odd ticket outside the high school. She went to court and got that dismissed too. Her boys knew that Mom was going to go to bat for them. But with that kind of involved mom, the boys also knew that she was going to find out anything they did when they misstepped. Brian says that on one occasion, she even knew what he had done before he got home that night. Fort Bragg, when Brian was there, when he lost the ability to call home for free, Janet hadn't heard from him in a while, and so Brian is just there on the base, and he gets stopped by a sergeant who says, "Are you Brown? You need to call your mom." When Brian would get a package from home, all the guys would say, "Hey, we got a package." Janet knew some guys didn't get packages from home, so she made sure included enough for others. So just like Thursday morning biscuits and a Coke full of fridge, or a fridge full of Cokes, she was always thinking of others. Even in the last few weeks, when she could still get around fairly well, the boys said she just wanted to have them over. She just wanted to have their families over. And she wouldn't let them help. She just wanted to serve them. It wasn't her blood family that she served, not just them. She served her church family. She planned church-wide events, sometimes single-handedly, with Charlie's help, of course. events for their flock, organized weekly snacks, served in the nursery, hosted Christmas parties. I don't even know how much she did. I'm not trying to champion all of Janet's accolades here. That's not what she would want. I'm just trying to acknowledge and reflect that there was a life and a joy and a selfless character about Janet that set her apart, but really just reflected the joy and the servant heart of her Savior. I think that's worth remembering and worth rejoicing over. And it's worth sharing with one another, especially today. Her marriage to Charlie was just as tenacious in her love as she had for the kids. All marriages have ups and downs. 36 years, they walked together through all of them. And we all know marriages take work, and they take commitment. They take a mutual honor and a love. And even after decades of marriage together, there are often still things that need to be worked on in a marriage. And in these last 10 years, Charlie and Janet recognized that. They worked together to make their marriage continually better. And their increasing joy and their love for one another, that was the fruit of their hard work in marriage. And it was recognized by those who knew him well. We thank the Lord for giving Janet to us in these almost 66 years and the way he has blessed us through her. Family's put together a video montage of songs and pictures from her life that they wanted to share with you all. Just quick snapshots, each saying something about who she was and what she cherished. And as these memories play, I just want you to consider your own relationship with Janet, what you remember about her, and think of things you may want to share with the family. They wanted to share and reflect and rejoice together with you, and in a moment we'll have an opportunity with some mics for you just to say some simple remembrances, the way that Janet has impacted you, what you remember about her. Family may not know everything about Janet, and they'd love to hear from you on that. Let's watch the video and then we'll share some memories.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to that land where joy will never end. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. In the morning, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
How did I ever get this far? After all I've been through, still you hold my heart. How did you pull me through the dark? If it weren't for you, the healing couldn't start. Never knew I could find peace until you found me. Showed me who I could be. And now I know that this is the good life. Never look back when I traded for a day in my own life. Never look back, 'cause I know that you are always
to me dead in his eye. You gave me the truth and I had lies. Showed me you're the only one who satisfies. I never knew I could find peace until you found me. Showed me who I could be. And now I know that this is the good life. Never look back when I trade it for a day in my own life. Never look back cause I know that you are always with me. I got you, I know you got me. This is the good life. You gave me the good life. Something that was way beyond me. I'm finally living with the heart that is free. Out of the dark right where you want me to be. And now I know that this is the good life. Never look back when I trade it for a day.
You say love for me. You're enough for me. Oh.
Singing. until then I'll live to hear you say, well done, well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong.
Thank you, family, for sharing those memories with us. Was Janet ever not tan? She was always tan. Always outside. It's an opportunity for us to share some personal remembrances of her. And we'll have a couple men with microphones there. And I'm going to just read a few that were posted on the website, at Dighton Moore. But just... raise your hand if you have something you'd like to share with the family. Don't feel like it has to be profound in a memory of Janet. From Michael Henry, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that name right. He says, I knew Janet as Mrs. Brown. She was the mother of one of my high school friends, Tyler. Every Thursday, we were invited into her home so she could feed us biscuits and gravy for breakfast before school. We had some really fun, wonderful memories of full of laughter around her table. Thank you, Browns, for all you have blessed me with over the years. She will be greatly missed, Mrs. Brown. Amber Morgan. My husband and I have been blessed to call Charlie and Janet neighbors for the past few years. They've been the kind of neighbors everyone hopes for. Janet was a wonderful example of God's servanthood and inspired me much with her faith and her strength in that she was where she was at any given time because it was God's plan. And in that plan, she would be the light of hope of God for someone else to see, even if she herself didn't realize who that person was. She will be sorely missed, but we know she is with our Lord and Savior doing his work from heaven from now on. Her strength and faith will remain an inspiration to all those who knew her. How about you? Some things to share.
I had the privilege of sharing part of Janet's life through Christ for Humanity, where she volunteered relentlessly. And we'd get together all, for Christmas and stuff like that. And she would always do these unbelievable spreads, of the best meat, the best everything, trying to make everybody feel so valued and important. And one year she made us all this wooden nativity scene that she did all herself. She sawed it all out, and it stood really pretty tall, maybe 2.5-3 feet, and dressed Joseph and Mary and all that, and it was all one piece, and it was made out of this wood, and she painted it and everything, and I still have it up. I can't take it down anyway.
Janet was always sweet, loving, kind. She was always, every time you talked to her, she always was more interested in what was going on with you than what was going on with her. One of my special memories is when she took a group of us old ladies out riding around to see all the Christmas lights. And then we went out to dinner at Olive Garden. I will truly miss my friend.
So what can I say about my brother's wife, Janet? She was so loving and gracious. And I like to call her my friend. I appreciated her organizational skills and her creativity. And she always focused on others. And she was so cooperative with letting Charlie come to Michigan to be with our mom in her last days.
So as far as people being here at BCO, Wynette and I are actually relatively newcomers. Had been at a local congregation for decades. And the first couple that really reached out to us was Charlie and Janet Brown in this congregation. I know that doesn't surprise anybody here. Nobody was a stranger to Janet and Charlie. And we had the privilege of traveling with them on several occasions to Kansas City, Memphis. I don't remember exactly what. I think three different times we were able to travel with them. And Janet just had this uncanny ability to make you feel special. I mean, regardless of where you were at, who you were with, she made you feel special. And I'll remember that about her. And somebody else mentioned, once I got to know Janet and I found out that she owned her own set of power tools, who couldn't love a woman like that? I mean, she was, and she used them. I mean, so anyway, our lives were truly enriched and blessed for knowing Janet. And I know we'll continue to be as we spend time with Charlie.
So I can never prove that it was her idea, but that sergeant that tracked me down Fort Bragg definitely made me do push-ups. I think she was probably behind that. And we used to joke in Afghanistan, we used pretty high-tech radios, and I was just waiting to hear her voice on the other end telling me to call home. There were several times I come home from high school from, you know, doing high school stuff, and a friend would be sitting there at the table talking to her, and I'd walk in and, hey, Chris, what are you doing? You know, you want to go do something? No, I'm talking to Janet. Sure enough. But she was wrong about something, and just bear with me for a second. When we were kids, they'd take us to parks and museums, and she'd want to stop and read everything. And I'd, come on, Mom, let's go, and try to rush her along. And she used to tell me growing up, like, when I die, you're just going to be like, hurry up, put her in the ground. Hurry up. Get it over with. Let's go. But you're wrong. She was wrong about that. Any patience I have or sense of adventure or sense of service definitely came from her. So,
this is to give you time to think. I'll read one more. Emily Murphy Tyndall wrote, Janet and I served in the nursery at the Bible Church of Owosso together for a couple of years. She was always encouraging and never seemed to mind talking to an awkward teenager. She always served with a smile.
When we attended church here, I still don't know why Janet kind of picked us out and started loving on us, and but she did, and she did so well. And I think it kind of came to a point when we were needing to move, and she found out we were going to live in a camper, and she refused to let us live in a camper. And she instead, her and Charlie, opened their home to us, our three kids and I and Kelly, and that could not have been easy. But such an example of a woman that there were no limits to when she could be selfless and not selfless. Nothing was too complicated, too long, too annoying. I mean, it just blew us away that time and time again, she gave us her best every single day that we lived there. And I know that her sons, we know a lot about you during our time living there. And simply because she never stopped talking about her family, ever. I just stories, yearbooks. We saw yearbooks, everything. She loved her family, and I know you guys know that, but it was amazing to me to see the links she would go to show you how much she loved you. And it was just a constant thing that we heard and saw her do, our time with them. And to this day, people are shocked that who would let you live in their house? Like, and we say, Janet and Charlie Brown. So just a huge blessing, and we were just so blessed to be loved by her. So thank you. And I know that we breakthrough was when we lived there, and she started sharing her blueberry scones with me that she picked up like every Monday morning. And I knew that, wow, she really cares for me if she shares scones that she buys every week and let me have them for breakfast with her. So she's just greatly loved by our family.
Bruns. She was the block mom in our cul-de-sac, Houston. Organized many activities for our circle, including Easter egg hunts, 4th of July ice cream socials. Janet was a mom to all 20 kids that lived on our circle. She helped me out often to babysit my daughter, who is grown now and has children of her own.
I worked in the nursery with Janet and Emily, too, but and really got to know Janet really well during those hours of holding and rocking babies. But one thing Janet just always impressed me with and encouraged me with and really challenged me with was how she was such a selfless servant. And she did things and found things to do that I was totally unaware of, that those needs were even there. Just like you said, the young moms going to her pool to swim, several older ladies in the church she was taking to doctor appointments or helping them figure out their checkbook, things like that. She was constantly serving and looking for ways to serve. And I was always astounded with how much she did for her boys and her boys' families when I would be like, oh my word, Janet, that's just too much, you know. It's, I can't believe you can do all that. You have that, no, nobody has that many hours in a day. But she just so, as has been said, she just loved her boys, and she loved her daughter-in-laws, and she loved those grandchildren of hers, and couldn't say enough about them and how special they were and how bright, how perfect and wonderful they were. And and she prayed so much for all those kids and grandkids to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. That was just the most important thing to her, that they would come to love the Lord and serve Him in their lives, like she was such a selfless servant herself.
Let me read one more then from Kathy Fisher. We'll let Kathy have the last word. What a beautiful testimony your life has been. Your laughter will sing in our memories, and your love will continue to warm our hearts. Goodbye, sweet friend. See you in heaven. Thanks for sharing those things. And let's continue sharing. As many of you know who have lost a loved one, you want to hear other people continue to speak of them and to recount memories. Well, Janet knew this day was coming. For some, death comes unexpectedly. There's little or no time to prepare, but for Janet, she got the word. No further treatments are going to remedy your condition. And that certainly is a hard pill to swallow for anyone, for a family. But it does give one time to prepare and to reflect and to plan. And so Charlie and Janet called me to come over one afternoon to discuss this day. And that's often a hard conversation to have, but true to form, though there were some choked up moments, there was really just a matter of factness to the conversation we had that day. No open casket, certain songs would be sung, and Janet was very clear. I want the 23rd Psalm read. Now, when someone knows that all their family and all their friends are going to be gathered together, or at least most of their friends, many she knows from all walks of life, and they're all going to be in one room on one day, and her main request is that a simple 6-verse poetic meditation be read to you out loud, it makes you want to sit up and listen. Out of all the things that could be said, all the things that could be read, out of all the literature ever produced, even out of all the places in the Holy Scriptures that she could have chosen for this day, this was the one. And you can't think it was just the first thing that came to her mind. It was because she wanted you to hear it, for this psalm to mark your remembrance of her. And really as an invitation for you to come and cherish these words just like she cherished them. Profound words. They're printed on the handout, the memory folder that you received as you came in. Let me just simply read this psalm like she asked, and then also point out its simple and profound message. I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard, which is different than it's printed there, but just listen to its words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These are the words of David, Shepherd King. And this psalm begins with the Lord, and it ends with the Lord forever. The Lord forever. He's the one who's the focus from beginning to end. The Lord, the only Lord, the God who created the world, who spoke with Adam and Eve, the one who sent the great flood, the one who spared only Noah's family, the one who made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, delivered through Moses and Joshua, anointed David king, spoke through the prophets, came bodily in the person of Jesus, who lived, suffered, died, was buried, rose again on the third day, and sent his apostles throughout the world with a message of salvation by the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ, the one who now reigns as heaven's king, and who will return without warning to pour out judgments on this earth and to personally judge the living and the dead, and will ultimately cast Satan into the lake of fire and dwell with his own people forever in everlasting peace and joy. The Lord forever. The Lord is presented here by David as my shepherd. I'm like one of his sheep that he knows by name. He tenderly cares for me. He guides and provides and restores and heals and protects and comforts and lavishes blessing upon and brings me then warmly into his house forever. This is the picture David presents here. It's almost too much to fathom that the God of the universe would have such a tender, shepherding relationship with Me? How can it be? Well, David doesn't explain how it can be here. He just states that it is. It is a fact. Now, the rest of the scriptures do explain and answer the question of who has such a relationship with the God, the Lord. The Apostle John says of Jesus, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name." And Jesus himself said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Those who know they need a shepherd, those who know they need the one that David speaks of here to restore their soul, to guide them into the paths of righteousness, and to protect them when the shadow of death looms large for them. Those are the ones who are his sheep. And so they run to the great shepherd, the guardian of their souls, Jesus, the Christ, and they put their full trust in him alone to bring them into the house of the Lord forever. They willingly and gladly let him guide them and provide for all they need in this life and in eternity. They rely on the grace of the good shepherd. It's those who can sing this song with David. Janet did. Janet knew she wasn't good enough to merit a place in the house of the Lord forever. She needed one to restore her soul and change her heart and actually lead her into the paths of righteousness. So, Janet heard the voice of Jesus. He sent out his message through his apostles, and now through his word and through his church, and Janet heard it in Houston. The voice that he says to his sheep, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened by your guilt, by your inadequacies, by your sins, and I'll give you rest." She heard this call as a young mom. She and her neighbor both got a flyer from a local church, and so they went, and they even brought their husbands along. And she heard the shepherd's call, and she came, and she never left. His goodness and his loving kindness followed her all the days of her life and indelibly marked her life through the highs and the lows, through the rough patches and the smooth roads, through raising boys, for crying out loud, and even in these last days, when the cancer was relentless, she let her shepherd lead her. And her life's witness, her message, her testimony is echoed in David's words here. "I do not want. I rest in green pastures. I walk beside quiet waters. My soul has been restored. My path is right, for he is the one who guides me. When enemies come, whatever they may be, I know I have ultimate victory because my shepherd is with me. His rod and his staff, they not only comfort me, but they correct me when I happen to stray from his path. My cup is overflowing with his goodness to me, his mercy toward me, and I know that when I walk into the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil there. He's right there with me, and he will then bring me to dwell in his house forever." Is it any wonder Janet wanted this song read? Because this is her song. It's not hers alone. It's the song of all the redeemed, of all the restored. The Lord forever. The Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the song of Janet's life. And she wanted you to hear it today. And truly, it would bring her and her shepherd the utmost joy if it were your song. Not by works, not by good religion. It's by the grace of God, humbly received by the individual soul who answers the call of the shepherd that says, "Come to me." because we all have to walk, not only through life's ups and downs, but also through the valley of the shadow of death. And our only hope in life and death is not in us. It's not what we can do collectively together. It's not the experiences that we have here. Our hope in life and death is that we belong, body and soul, to God and to our Savior and Shepherd Jesus Christ. This is why Solomon the Wise said, "It is better to go into the house of mourning than the house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living take it to heart." I think Janet has done us good today by having this psalm read and giving us every opportunity to take these matters to heart. She did. A few months ago, the men at our church gathered up front here and they sang what was a new song for us. It's a song about God's grace, and some men are going to come and sing that song this morning, or this afternoon. It's a song about God's grace that leads sinners home to ultimately be welcomed into the arms of Christ their Lord. Charlie stood here with us when we sang it. And that song resonated with Janet, and she came home that very day and she told Charlie, "I want that song sung when I die." So we're just going to give you an opportunity to listen to this song, and then we're going to sing another song together as we close. John and the men, please come.
Grace will see. arms of Christ, my Lord. By grace I am redeemed. By grace I am restored. And now I freely walk into the arms of Christ, my Lord.
Let's all stand together now and sing of our Lord's faithfulness together.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
You may be seated.
in all of life. We remember and we worship. Let me pray for us as we close. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us hope beyond this life. Lord, we thank you for giving us Janet. We thank you for her legacy of love and faith that she leaves us with. Thank you for restoring her soul, changing her life, making out of her something that was beautiful. Lord, we pray that you would give comfort to all the family. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in an eternal shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant true faith, grant true repentance in each one of us, and give us true hope. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen. The family is going to be dismissed, and then we'll join them together. They would love to greet you in the lobby as we are dismissed. Thank you.